Householders, Part 2, translated by Bhikkhu Sujato. Powers, first. Mendicants, there are these 8 powers. What 8? Crying is the power of babies. Anger is the power of females. Weapons are the power of bandits. Authority is the power of rulers. Complaining is the power of fools. Reason is the power of the astute. Reflection is the power of the learned. Patience is the power of ascetics and Brahmins. These are the 8 powers. Powers, second. Then Venerable Sariputta went up to the Buddha, bowed, and sat down to one side. The Buddha said to him, Sariputta, how many powers does a mendicant who has ended the defilements have that qualify them to claim, my defilements have ended? Sir, a mendicant who has ended the defilements has 8 powers that qualify them to claim, my defilements have ended. What 8? Firstly, a mendicant with defilements ended has clearly seen with right wisdom all conditions as truly impermanent. This is a power that a mendicant who has ended the defilements relies on to claim, my defilements have ended. Furthermore, a mendicant with defilements ended has clearly seen with right wisdom that sensual pleasures are truly like a pit of glowing coals. This is a power that a mendicant who has ended the defilements relies on to claim, my defilements have ended. Furthermore, the mind of a mendicant with defilements ended slants, slopes, and inclines to seclusion. They're withdrawn, loving renunciation, and they've totally done with defiling influences. This is a power that a mendicant who has ended the defilements relies on to claim, my defilements have ended. Furthermore, a mendicant with defilements ended has well developed the 4 kinds of mindfulness meditation. This is a power that a mendicant who has ended the defilements relies on to claim, my defilements have ended. Furthermore, a mendicant with defilements ended has well developed the 4 bases of psychic power, the 5 faculties, the 7 awakening factors, the Noble Eightfold Path. This is a power that a mendicant who has ended the defilements relies on to claim, my defilements have ended. A mendicant who has ended the defilements has these 8 powers that qualify them to claim, my defilements have ended. Lost opportunities. Now is the time. Now is the time. So says an unlearned, ordinary person. But they don't know whether it's time or not. Mendicants, there are 8 lost opportunities for spiritual practice. What 8? Firstly, a realized one has arisen in the world, perfected, a fully awakened Buddha, accomplished in knowledge and conduct, holy, knower of the world, supreme guide for those who wish to train, teacher of gods and humans. Awakened, blessed. He teaches the Dhamma leading to peace, extinguishment, awakening, as proclaimed by the Holy One. But a person has been reborn in hell. This is the first lost opportunity for spiritual practice. Furthermore, a realized one has arisen in the world, but a person has been reborn in the animal realm. This is the second lost opportunity. Furthermore, a realized one has arisen in the world, but a person has been reborn in the ghost realm. This is the third lost opportunity. Furthermore, a realized one has arisen in the world, but a person has been reborn in one of the long-lived orders of gods. This is the fourth lost opportunity. Furthermore, a realized one has arisen in the world, but a person has been reborn in the borderlands among uneducated foreigners where monks, nuns, laymen and laywomen do not go. This is the fifth lost opportunity. Furthermore, a realized one has arisen in the world, and a person is reborn in a central country. But they have wrong view and distorted perspective. There's no meaning in giving, sacrifice, or offerings. There's no fruit or result of good and bad deeds. There's no afterlife. There's no such thing as mother and father, or beings that are reborn spontaneously. And there's no ascetic or Brahmin who is rightly comported and rightly practiced, and who describes the afterlife after realizing it with their own insight. This is the sixth lost opportunity. Furthermore, a realized one has arisen in the world, and a person is reborn in a central country, but they're witless, dull, stupid, and unable to distinguish what is well said from what is poorly said. This is the seventh lost opportunity. Furthermore, a realized one has not arisen in the world, so he doesn't teach the Dhamma leading to peace, extinguishment, awakening, as proclaimed by the Holy One. And a person is reborn in a central country, and they're wise, bright, clever, and able to distinguish what is well said from what is poorly said. This is the eighth lost opportunity. There are these eight lost opportunities for spiritual practice. Mendicants, there is just one opportunity for spiritual practice. What is that one? It's when a realized one has arisen in the world, perfected, a fully awakened Buddha, accomplished in knowledge and conduct, holy, knower of the world, supreme guide for those who wish to train, teacher of gods and humans, awakened, blessed. He teaches the Dhamma leading to peace, extinguishment, awakening, as proclaimed by the Holy One. And a person is reborn in a central country, and they're wise, bright, clever, and able to distinguish what is well said from what is poorly said. This is the one opportunity for spiritual practice. When you've gained the human state and the true teaching has been so well proclaimed, those who don't seize the moment are wasting their time. For many wrong times are spoken of, which obstruct the path. Only on rare occasions do realized ones arise. If you find yourself in their presence, so hard to find in the world, and if you've gained a human birth and the teaching of the Dhamma, that's enough to make an effort for a person who cares for their own welfare. How is the true teaching to be understood so that the moment doesn't pass you by? For if you miss your moment, you'll grieve when sent to hell. If you fail to achieve certainty regarding the true teaching, you'll regret it for a long time, like a trader who loses a profit. A man shrouded by ignorance, a failure in the true teaching, will long undergo transmigration through birth and death. Those who've gained the human state when the true teaching has been so well proclaimed and have completed what the teacher taught, or will do so, or are doing so now, have realized the right time in the world for the supreme spiritual life. You should live guarded, ever mindful, not soaked with defilements among those restrained ones who have practiced the path proclaimed by the realized one, the clear-eyed one, and taught by the kinsman of the sun. Having cut off all underlying tendencies that follow those drifting in Mara's dominion, they're the ones in this world who've truly crossed over, having reached the ending of defilements. Anuruddha and the Great Thoughts. At one time, the Buddha was staying in the land of the Buggas at Crocodile Hill, in the deer park at Besakala's Wood. And at that time, Venerable Anuruddha was staying in the land of the Chettis at the Eastern Bamboo Park. Then, as Anuruddha was in private retreat, this thought came to his mind. This teaching is for those of few wishes, not those of many wishes. It's for the contented, not for those who lack contentment. It's for the secluded, not those who enjoy company. It's for the energetic, not the lazy. It's for the mindful, not the unmindful. It's for those with immersion, not those without immersion. It's for the wise, not the witless. Then the Buddha knew what Anuruddha was thinking. As easily as a strong person would extend or contract their arm, he vanished from the deer park at Besakalal's wood in the land of the Buggas and reappeared in front of Anuruddha in the eastern bamboo park in the land of the Chettis and sat on the seat spread out. Anuruddha bowed to the Buddha and sat down to one side. The Buddha said to him, "Good, good Anuruddha. It's good that you reflect on those thoughts of a great man. This teaching is for those of few wishes, not those of many wishes. It's for the contented, not those who lack contentment. It's for the secluded, not those who enjoy company. It's for the energetic, not the lazy. It's for the mindful, not the unmindful. It's for those with immersion, not those without immersion. It's for the wise, not the witless." Well then, Anuruddha, you should also reflect on the following eighth thought of a great man. This teaching is for those who don't enjoy proliferating and don't like to proliferate, not for those who enjoy proliferating and like to proliferate. First, you reflect on these eight thoughts of a great man. Then, whenever you want, quite secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unskillful qualities, you'll enter and remain in the first absorption, which has the rapture and bliss born of seclusion, while placing the mind and keeping it connected. You'll enter and remain in the second absorption, which has the rapture and bliss born of immersion, with internal clarity and mind at one, without placing the mind and keeping it connected. You'll enter and remain in the third absorption, where you'll meditate with equanimity, mindful and aware, personally experiencing the bliss of which the noble ones declare, "Equanimous and mindful, one meditates in bliss." Giving up pleasure and pain, and ending former happiness and sadness, you'll enter and remain in the fourth absorption, without pleasure or pain, with pure equanimity and mindfulness. First, you'll reflect on these eight thoughts of a great man, and you'll get the four absorptions, blissful meditations in the present life that belong to the higher mind, when you want, without trouble or difficulty. Then, as you live contented, your rag robe will seem to you like a chest full of garments of different colours, seems to a householder or householder's child. It will be for your enjoyment, relief and comfort, and for alighting upon extinguishment. As you live contented, your scraps of alms food will seem to you like boiled fine rice, with the dark grains picked out, served with many soups and sauces, seems to a householder or householder's child. It will be for your enjoyment, relief and comfort, and for alighting upon extinguishment. As you live contented, your lodging at the root of a tree will seem to you like a bungalow, plastered inside and out, draught-free, with latches fastened and windows shuttered, seems to a householder or householder's child. It will be for your enjoyment, relief and comfort, and for alighting upon extinguishment. As you live contented, your lodging at the root of a tree will seem to you like a couch spread with woolen covers, shag-piled, pure white, or embroidered with flowers, and spread with a fine deer hide, with a canopy above and red pillows at both ends, seems to a householder or householder's child. It will be for your enjoyment, relief and comfort, and for alighting upon extinguishment. As you live contented, your rancid urine as medicine will seem to you like various medicines, ghee, butter, oil, honey and molasses, seem to a householder or householder's child. It will be for your enjoyment, relief and comfort, and for alighting upon extinguishment. Well then, Anuruddha, for the next rainy season residence, you should stay right here in the land of the Chettis, in the eastern bamboo park. "Yes, sir," Anuruddha replied. After advising Anuruddha like this, the Buddha, as easily as a strong person would extend or contract their arm, vanished from the eastern bamboo park in the land of the Chettis, and reappeared in the deer park at Besakalar's wood in the land of the Buggas. He sat on the seat spread out and addressed the mendicants. Mendicants, I will teach you the 8 thoughts of a great man. Listen. And what are the 8 thoughts of a great man? This teaching is for those of few wishes, not those of many wishes. It's for the contented, not those who lack contentment. It's for the secluded, not those who enjoy company. It's for the energetic, not the lazy. It's for the mindful, not the unmindful. It's for those with immersion, not those without immersion. It's for the wise, not the witless. It's for those who don't enjoy proliferating and don't like to proliferate, not for those who enjoy proliferating and like to proliferate. This teaching is for those of few wishes, not those of many wishes. That's what I said, but why did I say it? A mendicant with few wishes doesn't wish, may they know me as having few wishes. When contented, they don't wish, may they know me as contented. When secluded, they don't wish, may they know me as secluded. When energetic, they don't wish, may they know me as energetic. When mindful, they don't wish, may they know me as mindful. When immersed, they don't wish, may they know me as immersed. When wise, they don't wish, may they know me as wise. When not enjoying proliferation, they don't wish, may they know me as one who doesn't enjoy proliferating. This teaching is for those of few wishes, not those of many wishes. That's what I said, and this is why I said it. This teaching is for the contented, not those who lack contentment. That's what I said, but why did I say it? It's for a mendicant who's content with any kind of robes, alms food, lodgings, and medicines and supplies for the sick. This teaching is for the contented, not those who lack contentment. That's what I said, and this is why I said it. This teaching is for the secluded, not for those who enjoy company. That's what I said, but why did I say it? It's for a mendicant who lives secluded. But monks, nuns, laymen, laywomen, rulers, and their ministers, monastics of other religions, and their disciples go to visit them. With a mind slanting, sloping, and inclining to seclusion, withdrawn and loving renunciation, that mendicant invariably gives each of them a talk emphasizing the topic of dismissal. This teaching is for the secluded, not those who enjoy company. That's what I said, and this is why I said it. This teaching is for the energetic, not the lazy. That's what I said, but why did I say it? It's for a mendicant who lives with energy roused up for giving up unskillful qualities and embracing skillful qualities. They're strong, staunchly vigorous, not slacking off when it comes to developing skillful qualities. This teaching is for the energetic, not the lazy. That's what I said, and this is why I said it. This teaching is for the mindful, not the unmindful. That's what I said, but why did I say it? It's for a mendicant who's mindful. They have utmost mindfulness and alertness, and can remember and recall what was said and done long ago. This teaching is for the mindful, not the unmindful. That's what I said, and this is why I said it. This teaching is for those with immersion, not those without immersion. That's what I said, but why did I say it? It's for a mendicant who, quite secluded from sensual pleasures, secluded from unskillful qualities, enters and remains in the first absorption, second absorption, third absorption, fourth absorption. This teaching is for those with immersion, not those without immersion. That's what I said, and this is why I said it. This teaching is for the wise, not the witless. That's what I said, but why did I say it? It's for a mendicant who's wise. They have the wisdom of arising and passing away, which is noble, penetrative, and leads to the complete ending of suffering. This teaching is for the wise, not the witless. That's what I said, and this is why I said it. This teaching is for those who don't enjoy proliferating and don't like to proliferate. Not for those who enjoy proliferating and like to proliferate. That's what I said, but why did I say it? It's for a mendicant whose mind is secure, confident, settled, and decided regarding the cessation of proliferation. This teaching is for those who don't enjoy proliferating and don't like to proliferate, not for those who enjoy proliferating and like to proliferate. That's what I said, and this is why I said it. Then Anuruddha stayed the next rainy season residence right there in the land of the Chetis in the eastern bamboo park. And Anuruddha, living alone, withdrawn, diligent, keen and resolute, soon realized the supreme culmination of the spiritual path in this very life. He lived, having achieved with his own insight the goal for which gentlemen rightly go forth from the lay life to homelessness. He understood rebirth is ended, the spiritual journey has been completed, what had to be done has been done, there is no return to any state of existence. And Venerable Anuruddha became one of the perfected. And on the occasion of attaining perfection, he recited these verses. Knowing my thoughts, the supreme teacher in the world came to me in a mind-made body using his psychic power. He taught me more than I had thought of. The Buddha who loves non-proliferation taught me non-proliferation. Understanding that teaching, I happily did his bidding. I've attained the three knowledges and have fulfilled the Buddha's instructions.